In the book of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 14 and 15, I title this message from the book of Isaiah, "Here Am I, Send Me." In verse 14, the 28th chapter of Isaiah, he said, "Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord," and then he prefaces it with certain individuals, "Ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." Lies and falsehood. "Thou shalt not surely die." I don't know anyone that thinks about dying. You say, "Well, you think about dying, you're old, you're going to die. And you're going to die sooner than us." Maybe. I'm not sure the guy at the grain elevator in Tynan believed that. You see, he doesn't now, wherever he is. And this is something that we certainly seem to forget. Those that are outside of Christ, now listen, have made an agreement with death, and they have made an agreement with hell. Do you get that? If you're not born again in the Spirit of God and don't have Christ literally living in you, I practiced what I preached this morning. I texted my golf buddies and told them about hell. Because those outside Christ have made an agreement with death, and they've made an agreement with hell, and they believe lies and a falsehood. You might say it's the covenant of the lost. And the sureness of hell is very little spoken of, if at all, today. It's not even spoken of in a Baptist church. And yet all men die, all of us, from the youngest at any age to the oldest. We're going to all die. When? I don't know. Well, the truth is, do I really care? I care about as much about dying as I did about being born. I didn't care at all. I just know I'm going to die. I'm prepared for it. I know the realism of it. And I know that when I die, there are but two places that I'll end up. That grave, that's just where this dead body's going to go with no life in it. The spirit and the soul, they're going to be gone, you see. And so all men die and go but to heaven or hell. And I find that men go through this life with so very little thought of death, hell, or the grave. As if they'll never die. That's what people think. I'll never die. They go, "Oh yeah, well I know I will, but yeah, but what?" And death comes all the day long at any moment. At any moment, you see, with hardly any thought of hell. I don't need to think that much about heaven. You know, we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about the good things. We spend a whole lot of time thinking about the what ifs. You see. I doubt that man that was killed at the grain elevator over here, you think he had any thought he was going to die when he got up and went to work that day? At a grain elevator? There are no words of man that can describe the torments of hell. We do have an account, a biblical account of one man that experienced such. And you see, hell is eternal. That means without end. There's no end to it. And as mortals, we have no concept of eternity. We can't, because we're eternal, we're mortal beings. We, as far as the life we know, have a beginning and an end, though we never want to think about the end, you see. But hell is a place of eternal hell, of hellfire, eternal fire. It says the worm doesn't die there, and it says they scream in torments. Unimaginable. I saw a show last night, and the hero in the show, they're torturing him. They show this torture, and they have him hung up by his arms, and they dip his feet in a bucket of water and take a 12-volt battery. You ever take a 12-volt battery? Ever click the ends of the jumper cables together? They stick his feet in water and hook him up. Oh, he didn't talk, so they heated up a bucket of boiling water and poured it on his back. And then the woman told him, said, "I know you think that's horrible, but," she said, "the salt is much worse," and they poured a sack of salt on his back. That's kindness compared to hell. A place called hell. And if you die without Christ, you'll go to this burning, literal hell. Ray Wiley Hubbard, I heard him sing a song the other day on the radio or on the phone, whatever we have. I don't know what we have anymore. You can play music on everything. And it's actually called Salvation. And he had a dream of being in hell. And, of course, he makes the song a little bit humorous. But when he wakes up and realizes it was a dream, he said, "I went upstairs and kissed my son on the forehead." And he said something very poignant. He said, "And I prayed to God, please don't ever speak to me directly." He was scared to death. Ray Wiley Hubbard. And we've the words of one man biblically that was in hell. And he said, "For I am," it was Luke chapter 15, "for I am tormented in this flame." I'm sorry, Luke chapter 16. Is that right, Deacon?
It's pretty close.
Pretty close. Well, 15 and 16 are pretty close together. Because 15 is the prodigal son. 16 is a man in hell. If memory serves me. "For I am tormented in this flame." When will it stop? Never. Never. Wait a minute. Never? It'll never stop. I've got, some people call it tinnitus. You can pronounce it either way. I call it tinnitus because I'm from down here. And tinnitus is what they call a ringing in the ears, only it's not ringing. I can sit and listen to phones ring all day. It's much worse. And there's simply no way to describe the torment of that. It's all day and it's all night. And I don't speak much of it because you have to program your mind to go elsewhere, if you can do that. And men have killed themselves over it, committed suicide. And that thought's crossed my mind. Well, I know how to get rid of this. But let me tell you something. I have a hope. You see, I have a hope. I really don't have much of a hope they're going to find a cure for it. I don't believe there is a cure. But I have a hope of living eternally without this infernal noise, this infernal din in my head. And that's my hope. I have that hope. The kindness of death to bring about a form of silence. But there's no hope in hell. Rich man didn't cry. You know, isn't it interesting? He didn't cry, get me out of here. I found that queer. He didn't cry, get me out of here. Isn't that what, that my first thought was, hey, Abraham, can you get me out of here? Why do you think that is? Because now he knows the truth. What's the truth? It's eternal. I can't get out of here. Why would he know that? Because he has no hope. There's no hope. You see? It's final. And he knew that. So he said, maybe one drop of water? Could you get me one drop of water? No hope of escape of his torment ever. And he now knew truth and justification. He won't be like these men right here that took their refuge in lies and falsehood, because he'll know. He'll know, you see, that he is exactly where he belongs. To which I'd say, just reading this among the words that came, God have mercy. Which is the way, God have mercy. And thus he had to cry to warn others. Hey, I forget how many brothers. 5, 6, 7 brothers up there. Could you send somebody? While there's still time to warn them. Tell them. You see, the one thing that was missing was mercy. Once he closed his eyes in death, mercy was gone. He was the rich man. And Lazarus, who laid at his gate and the dogs licked his sores and his wounds, Lazarus wanted mercy. He didn't receive mercy this side. But the Bible says he received mercy the other side when he was carried to Abraham's bosom. But the rich man received no mercy. No mercy. And with that, you'd expect men on earth to be crying out if they believe this. And they don't, mostly because they believe lies and falsehoods. But if they believe this, if any man believes this, don't you tell me he won't cry out for mercy. 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 I did. Well, that could still be had. Mercy. God, have mercy on me. I don't want to go to hell. Well, I sent my son, that's why he went to hell. Jesus went to hell. I've had people call me and say, you believe that? And I said, I read it in the Bible. You see? But men aren't crying out for mercy, everything but. They're busy building homes and enjoying earthly pleasures, and as one of Melissa's favorite phrases, at ease in Zion. As my old buddy used to say in the car business, oh, never see another poor day. They'll never see another poor day. No thoughts of death and hell. You see, and of course, you're all younger than me. You're thinking down the road. You're thinking down the road. I mean, these boys here, they won't be, if they make it, they won't be my age for 70 years. Wow. That's hard for me to imagine. For 70 years, it'll be almost, if God tarries, it'll be almost the year 2100. Is that right? 2100? I won't be here. If I am, I'll look just like this. 2100. 2100. No thoughts of death and hell. You see? Oh yeah, I know I'm going to die, but probably not today. Maybe tomorrow, you see? And so you might say, well, I've got 50 years. My granddaughter, she's got 50 years for it. In 50 years, she won't be as old as I am. In 50 years. Well, I know I've got at least 50 years. He lived 50. He lived that age. Well, maybe. I wonder if the boy that died, his grandpa's still alive and he's dead. You see? See, not, we don't think tomorrow. Well, when do you prepare your... When do you make the decision, I don't want to go to hell? At what age is that? Do we have a I don't want to go to hell age? Well, I better decide pretty quick. The grain elevator might fall on me tomorrow. Do you see? Give thought. What about the very few that we know in Christ? Those of us that are been in this work for a long time. You ever think about the people that you truly know are in Christ? That hey, absolutely, man, there's no doubt in my mind, my spirit melds with their spirit. They're my brother, they're my sister. They are in the Lord. You know, you can almost name them. Maybe count them on one or two hands. Am I right? Okay, now let's give thought to all the other people that we know. What about the other people that we're not so sure of? Can't begin to name all them. You see? That's everybody else. Family, friends, acquaintances, co-workers. We have no shortage there. And where are they going? What road do you find them on? Who wants to think about mother, or father, or son, or daughter going to hell? Not something we dwell on, is it? You see? And now, so, okay, now consider the time, listen to me, that you put in crying out to God for their eternal security, for their redemption. Oh, I see. You see, we no burden for the lost. You say, well, preacher, you believe? Yeah, I believe in election, but I don't know who they are. God hadn't given me the list. Maybe not even your own self. We become jaded to their eternal fates. People that we deal with all the, like I told you, I texted some golf buddies this morning. We've become jaded to their eternal fates. And any one of them could die tomorrow, today. And here, we've got a place where they may yet receive mercy. If they're alive and we can speak to them, they may as yet receive mercy. A place and a time where mercy can be found. Is it any wonder that Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Who's going to tell these people about hell? Here am I. Here I am, God, send me, I'll tell them. They don't want to hear it. Okay. We're going to get to that. How is it you're surrounded by those that are lost, that you have no assurity, they know really any thought of, about hell? And they're probably hell-banned. They've never been, you know they've never been born again. And you know that once they close their eyes in death, it's over. They're just like the rich man in hell. There'll be no mercy. I was called in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 3. It's mentioned twice in the book of Ezekiel, but in Ezekiel chapter 3, we'll just use one verse. Verse 18, he said, "When I say unto the wicked," now look at it, "thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning." Do you see it? "And thou givest him not warning." Might say, well, who are the wicked? We're getting to that. "To warn the wicked from his wicked way." You say, "I'm not wicked." Well, are you? You're either righteous or wicked. "To save his life. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand." And then he goes on to talk about warning even the righteous, you see. And that was my calling so many years ago. When's the last time any of you warned the wicked? That's what I'm asking you. Mom, how are you getting to heaven? Dad, have you ever been born again? Dad, Jesus said you must be born again. Son, does Christ physically live in you? Daughter, do you have hope of heaven? Has God ever called you according to his purpose? Mom? Dad? I'd ask you, are you a son of God? Well, only sons of God are going to heaven. There's not going to be a bunch of strangers in heaven. You see? Does Christ live in you? "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil." You ever preach that to them? It's called truth. That's what it's called. It's called truth. Don't be like these in our text, lies and falsehood. Don't be like that. Because we know an eternal truth. And God says he's going to hold you and I accountable. You may say, well, they're goats. Are they? We're told in Ezekiel to both warn the wicked and the righteous. Only two types of people, the wicked and the righteous. Just two, not three. Not three, you see. As in heaven or hell. Not three, heaven or hell. No purgatory. No grave. Not simply the grave. That's just where we bury the body. Heaven or hell, the wicked and the righteous. Sheep and goats, wheat and tares. Saints and sinners, sons of God and those of the wicked one. Pretty cut and dried. That's it. You see? The world always wants three, but they're still just male and female. You see? Good and evil. Hot or cold, Jesus said in Revelation 3. Lukewarm gets you hell. The middle of the road gets you run over. I told you I heard this preacher from Australia, and He wanted to say some things, but he said, they're not from the Bible. He said, there's some things in the Bible, but I can't tell you because they're not family friendly. And he wouldn't use the word whore. He wouldn't read the word whore from the Word of God. I should make a list someday of the words that I use from the Word of God that always raise the eyebrows. Well, you shouldn't say that. Well, God did, and he put it in his Word. And one of them was whore. Just how family friendly is hell? As we've all got family that may end up there. But it'll be too late. No mercy. No mercy. You say, well, they won't hear. Well, I don't know. I like to say it this way. The good news is, that's not my problem. But if I don't warn them, that's my problem. That's my problem. No mercy. Here am I, Lord. Send me.